Welcome to Career Tools. This week, what to do when you've been furloughed. Part one. The questions this cast answers are, what actions should I take at work to prepare for being furloughed? What actions should I take at home to prepare for being furloughed? And what should I do now?
Well, we're just over a month away from this year's M conference. We're planning for a great event in light of all the changes. But as you've guessed it, we'll be a slightly smaller group who'll be socially distanced, hand sanitizer galore. And if getting together now doesn't appeal to you, we're also selling the video-only versions for half the price to keep you safe at home. More information can be found at manager-tools.com/training.
So Sarah, you and I are recording this on June 10th, so second week in June, and I think we've been seeing reports of people being furloughed for 2 months, 3 months now.
Yes.
Quarantine seems to be forever. Don't remember a time before. And there's a really good reason for companies to furlough employees in terms of their economics. If you furlough employees, you can reduce your cost because you don't have to pay them salary. And salary is nearly always the biggest cost for a business. So you can reduce the salary. You don't have to pay severance. You don't have to pay layoff costs. So it's a really quick way for a business to cut their costs and improve their economics immediately. And of course, the other benefit is when you're ready to ramp back up, your employees are still there, they're still available, they know the ropes, and so you can ramp back up really quickly. So it's an obvious economic benefit for the company, but for the employees, it's a very different animal. It's different on the economic side, but it's also an emotional thing. It's a family thing. There's all sorts of things that go into it. So that's what we want to talk about. So in this guidance, we're going to talk about what to do when you've been furloughed. And if you haven't been furloughed yet, the moment there are furloughs in the economy, you can guarantee they will ripple out. And we'll talk about why in this cast. But the first time you read about employees being furloughed anywhere, you need to start taking actions in case you too are furloughed. And we're going to cover those. So don't assume that you won't be furloughed and stop listening. So furlough preparation in my mind is like hurricane preparation. You hope that it will miss you, but you prepare anyway.
Just in case.
Right. So what's our outline?
All right. So our outline for today. As Wendy mentioned, we're going to cover two main or high-level topics. When you've been furloughed and before or in advance of being furloughed. So under the heading, when you've been furloughed, we're going to be delineating it or identifying it by the day in which we recommend you do it. So day zero, the day it happens, cut your expenses hard. The next day then, or day one, find out what you're entitled to. Next, assume or act as if, behave as if you've been fully laid off. Next, update your resume. And then stay in touch with your network and those in the office. Under the heading then, before you've been furloughed, we're going to recommend that you do the exact same as above. That is, even before you've been furloughed, act as if you have been. Expect and prepare for how or what will happen when you've been disconnected, if it happens, warming up your network, and then looking for other options in terms of if you get laid off or furloughed, you might have to look for another role.
Yeah. So it's going to be long. But as we said, the first part of before you're furloughed is do all of the above, which is the when you've been furloughed stuff. So we don't want you to stop listening. We want you to take action. And the first section is cut hard. And we call this the day zero action. This is the thing you do on your way home or as soon as you've got home. Get home, make dinner, sit down with your spouse and your family and look at what expenses you can cut. So a furlough is an employer-mandated temporary unpaid leave from work. And the most important part of that sentence is unpaid. No salary, no hourly rate, no overtime, no benefit, no expenses, paid. Your income from the moment that you are furloughed is $0. And you can think, oh, I'll be paid at the end of the month. Right. But you might only be paid for 10 days of that month because you're being furloughed today on the 10th. So yeah. Even though you may have another payday coming, it may well not be a full pay. And you might as well assume that it's going to be zero.
Absolutely. And it's surprising how many people miss that compelling or that important item. Because technically, you're right to say you do still have a job. You're just not doing the job. And many people conflate having a job with the idea of having income, right? They'll say things like, well, at least I still have a job, or, oh, I've only been furloughed, I've not been laid off. And those types of statements or that type of feeling, I have a job to go back to one day, lulls people into a false sense of security, right? At the end of the day, guys, it's not the job or the having of a job that matters. When you're looking at items like putting food on your table or putting clothes on your kids, it's not about having a job. It's about having the money or the income as a result of a job that you do not have.
Yeah. So cut hard and cut deep right now. So this is your day zero task. It comes before everything else, because the harder and the more seriously you take this now, the easier your future will be. You could do half measures now and have to do half measures again later. So you end up in the same place. The worst thing that can happen if you cut too hard is you end up with more money than you think you need, right? If you cut Netflix and that makes you sad, which it would make me sad too.
Right.
And you have a $10 overage at the end of the month, then you can think, shall I put Netflix back on, right? Better to do that than keep Netflix and at the end of the month be $10 short of being able to shop or whatever. If you cut enough now, you can let the purse strings go later. But fail to cut now, you'll be cutting later anyway. So don't let your expenses die, the death of 1,000 cuts. Just do it once, chop its head off right now, chop everything. And then hopefully that will be enough to keep you solvent.
Exactly. It at least will give you the peace of mind that you may be safer. And guys, assume on that day zero, when they tell you you've been furloughed, that you will not be returning to that job, right? Assume that you'll be out of work for a year. Not that they say, oh, it'll be 1 or 2 months that we're predicting and we'll be calling you back or bringing you back. That 1 or 2 months oughtn't be the assumption that you're basing the cutting of your expenses on, right? Now, this is the most pessimistic, but also, unfortunately, realistic view that will help you in terms of ensuring you take significantly drastic action in this respect. Lots of people think being furloughed is somehow a protection from actually losing their jobs. They think if they've been furloughed, ultimately they won't be laid off. But that's not the case at all. The furlough is a short-term measure or short-term strategy to keep you on the hook in case they can bring you back. But there's no promise at the end of the day that they can. And in many cases, you'll likely be laid off at some point anyway. A company furloughing workers means they're already in financial difficulty, and those difficulties may not turn around and could still lead to you being laid off.
I mean, the people that were furloughed in March, for companies that thought, okay, it's only going to be a month, and in a month we can take everybody back, and it's now June, and for some of those companies, they still can't have workers in their offices, or they still can't have customers in their offices. And so that money that they saved by furloughing people may have got them through a month, but it didn't get them through 2 months, and those people are now being laid off. So we want to be the most pessimistic people on the face of the planet. We want to be Chicken Little this time and tell you the sky is falling in, because we want you to take that action and be saved, rather than saying to you, oh, it'll be fine, and then you not being saved. So don't think that a $2,000 or a $5,000 emergency fund will get you through. Most people don't even have that anyway, but it's not going to be enough. Don't think that a savings equivalent of 3 to 6 months will get you through. And don't rely on that. Oh, I'll be able to get a new job in 3 months. Who knows where we're going to be in 3 months? If we've learned anything in the last 3 months, it's we can't predict anything. So ignore your savings, ignore what you have in your emergency fund, and take action as if that money didn't exist. The circumstances are you have no income coming in and no idea when your income will resume. And we have had emails from people, I remember two specifically, one where somebody was laid off, but his wife was still working. And they said, it's all right, because my wife's still working. So we can still afford these things. We'll cut a little bit, but we can afford these things. And my job's going to take me back. And a month later, his wife was laid off. And so he's on furlough. She's been laid off. And now they have no income. And fortunately, they said they were still in an okay position. But that could have not been true. And by relying on the fact that his wife was going to continue to work, they lost a month of where they could have been saving. And the second one was somebody who worked at a hospital, and a non-profit hospital. Mm-hmm. And they had also assumed that the lady who was working at this non-profit hospital, well, non-profit hospitals aren't going to cut people. Hospitals are going to be busy, therefore they're going to need people. And non-profits have big they do all their fundraising ahead of time, so they have the funds to continue to pay this person. So she's going to be fine. Well, a month later, the non-profit hospital furloughed non-essential workers, and she worked in an office, and they decided that she was non-essential. So you can have all these reasons. You can follow the logic of, I'm going to be fine, or, you know, there's no reason for this company to lay me off, or there's no reason that this company will furlough me, or I'm essential, and act as if none of those things are true. Don't talk yourself out of doing the hard stuff because you think it'll be okay, because we have evidence that we're sharing with you, but we bet you have evidence from the people you know too, that is these rational, completely rational reasons don't always turn out to be true.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And in our emergency spending guide recommendations, we recommended cutting costs immediately, whether you've been furloughed or not. Guys, furloughs happening anywhere in our economy signals that your income could also be in danger, because the effects of furloughs ripple through the economy. And no matter how far away you are from the initial difficulties, those ripples will affect you. It'll reach you, and it might not reach you today or tomorrow. It could reach you 6 months down the line.
Right.
For example, during the COVID-19 crisis, which is currently where we are, hundreds of thousands of hotel and restaurant workers have been furloughed. Now, you might think to yourself, all right, well, I'm immune. I work in IT, right? I work in one of those essential services. And we all say this all the time, IT is still booming. Of any of the places that is booming right now, it's technology. But those hotel and those restaurant workers are using their wages, the money they get from the job they've now been furloughed from, to buy iPhones, to buy tablets, to buy laptops. The schools that our children used to be able to go to use money for IT hardware, right? To buy software, to manage pupils, to manage teachers. The mortgage company of those workers buys technology and IT to manage the mortgage on those homes. Or the apartment complex, IT is used to support those hotel workers, whether or not it's yours, right? The banks, their wages go to use IT to send money from account to account. Hotels buy IT systems to run hotels. IT technology is everywhere. And that is so valuable to all of us when the economy is booming. There are so many options for technology when there's a boom. It also means, though, when there aren't individuals to pay into those systems, there's less of a need for those systems, and therefore a downturn in technology that has nothing to do with technology.
Right.
But the people that would buy it don't have money to do that.
And the same goes for any section of the economy. Whilst the headlines right now are about hotels and retail, any shock to the economy in one area will affect the rest. So workers won't buy a car this year or next year, but they'll keep going with the one they have because they don't want to risk getting a new loan on a car or buying a new car. They won't go to the movies. They'll stay home. And, you know, there's both the economics of we can't afford to go to the movies because we've been furloughed or we've been laid off, but there's also the health effect of we don't want to be in a place with lots of people. They don't upgrade their phone this year. They don't buy new clothes. They don't buy a new kitchen gadget. They put off going to the doctor or getting their house painted or getting their hair cut. You know, since we haven't been able to go to the hairdressers for 3 months, we've all discovered that you don't have to go every 6 weeks like they tell you. So, you know, now maybe everybody will go to the hairdressers every 3 months instead of going every 6 weeks like we used to. It doesn't matter where it starts, the ripple effect will get to you. And again, you might think we're being super pessimistic and wherever you are is completely safe. Maybe you're in telemedicine and you're like, our stuff is great.
Right.
But if the doctor's surgeries are not getting the income that they used to because people are putting off going to the doctor because they don't have the money to pay the payment, then the doctor's surgery isn't going to upgrade their telemedicine software for another year. And so despite the fact that, yes, telemedicine just went from 0 to 100, that doesn't mean it's going to last or that it's a long-term investment or that in the short term, people are going to invest in it. Mm-hmm. So you are still at risk.
Absolutely. The moment you hear about furloughs in one section of the economy, it's a flag for you to review your own finances and cut hard. Harder than you think you'd ever need to. And I can speak from personal experience. I feel like I'm safe, guys. When this began, I started rewashing Ziploc bags. like my granny in the Great Depression, I'm rewashing Ziploc bags and folding up tin foil when it's not dirty. Guys, I have no reason to fear, and I'm terrified. You want to cut far harder than you think you can, because there, by the grace of God, go you. And whilst God is unbounded, the economy is not.
And Mark keeps saying, oh, it's fine. I've got a bunch of stuff, and I'm not missing any of it. Well, I can tell you, I've got a bunch of stuff, and I am missing it.
Me too.
But that's the reality of the situation, you know. Manager tools is okay. And Sarah and I, Mark and Mike have told us that they're not going to follow us and they're not going to lay us off. But at some point, they may still have to. If we can't get back to training people, we may have to. And so Sarah and I not preparing for that would just be stupid. And so
absolutely. It's astounding how many stories I've heard since we started to be allowed to get out of our shelter in place or our stay at home orders. It's astounding to me how many individuals I've talked to who've been phoned by their furloughed employees saying, oh, well, the stay at home order is over. Can we come back to work now?
Right. And the companies are saying no, because they don't have the infrastructure to support it. Right.
Right. Well, there's still nobody buying the products. There's you could come to work, but we're not going to pay you to come here and sit around. We're going to make it work with our small staff limping along as long as we can, because the amount of money that our organizations lost through this is not something to take lightly.
Hey, y'all. We're super excited to announce that we are launching a client virtual effective communicator training. We've been able to take the lessons we've learned in the past 8 weeks of presenting virtually and apply it to our effective communicator guidance. Learn what standard communication behaviors are and how to use your DISC assessment to make your communications more effective with others. We will work with up to 30 people during a 4-hour session, and each attendee of the session will receive a DISC behavioral assessment as well as video practice scenarios that let them practice after the train. Just practice your training, record it, and send in that snippet, and Manager Tools will evaluate it. We've made this half-day course affordable at a flat $10,000 for up to 30 people in your organization. If you want to learn more, contact Maggie at maggie@manager-tools.com, and you can learn what a real high I is like.
So that was day zero. You've just cut everything. And while we're talking about cutting everything, I just wanted to add in, as well as cutting what, you know, cutting things of, I thought, of subscriptions like Netflix and reducing my internet speed so that I can pay the internet company less and so on. But there's also things that you've paid for in advance that you can cancel. So, for example, I actually had tickets for basketball, which got, first of all, it got... postponed, and they weren't giving refunds, and then they decided, we still don't know a date, it still might happen, so you can leave the money in the tickets or you can now ask for a refund. So I asked for a refund because better the money in my pocket than someone else's. But there is stuff that you may have purchased with a future, with something in the future happening, that you can also ask for a refund. So don't forget that when you're trying to get as much money back into your own bank account as possible.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that was day zero. Day one, find out what you are entitled to. And in the show notes, we have your in big capital letters, because what you're entitled to is very different to what other people are entitled to.
To what all of the other people are entitled to. Exactly. For starters, guys, just basically assume you are entitled to nothing, right? That is, again, the most pessimistic but safest place to start. Don't listen or read this section of our podcast and think that it mitigates the previous section. Also, to be clear, do both. You can't assume that you'll be entitled to, oh, there's so many unemployment or special dispensation that are being talked about in the press. Our companies, our country, specifically the government, has got many different offerings to assist individuals. Banks with the credit cards or mortgage deferral. But you can't assume that they will allow you to defer payments because you've heard about it on the news. Assuming that you're going to be entitled to help is like being adrift at sea. Guys, and if you're going to sit in the water and assume that a boat will probably come by and rescue you, you're at high risk. It's much better to start paddling slowly towards the island that you can see on the horizon and have the boat show up when you're a mile from shore than to just float dangerously in the middle of the ocean. Don't wait.
That boat might come. It might
not. It might. Yeah, exactly.
And as we write this, as I wrote this in June 2020, in most cases in the US, some furloughed employees are entitled to employment benefits, even if you're using up vacation and personal times during the furlough. In most cases, if you have health insurance, you will be able to keep it through the furlough. In most cases, you're allowed to use family medical leave, disability, and other benefits. In some cases, you can use your funds from the retirement accounts without penalty. And in some cases, you can defer payment on student loans. And in every sentence, I use in most cases or in some cases.
Some.
Because what you're entitled to as an individual varies so much. It varies on the date. You know, the rules during COVID have been different than previous economic shutdowns. Where you live, the rules are different in each state and in some places in each county in states in the US, and the rules in different countries are different. What you do and how you're currently paid, it's different for hourly paid workers than salary workers. How long you've been in your job, it's different for someone who's held a job for a month than who's held a job for 5 years. Your tax status, your marital status, your financial position, a whole bunch of other factors go into what you're entitled to. So what you're entitled to may be different from what your peer is entitled to. Even if you started on the same day, you do the same job, you have the same pay, you sit next to each other in the office, and you live next door to each other. You, funnily enough, my house is in the city, and the house next to me is in the city, and the house next to that is half in the city and half in the county. So by the time you get to the end of my street, the people up there are entitled to different things and pay for different things than I do, because the city line goes straight through the street. So you have to find out specifically what you are entitled to and be ready to apply for it as soon as you are furloughed. This is your day one task, because entitlements take days and weeks to be applied for and to appear. So begin as soon as possible. When this all first started happening, we saw people who were trying to apply for unemployment and they couldn't get through to the unemployment office, or they couldn't get the website to work because everybody was overloaded. So you want to start as soon as possible so that you get what you're entitled to as soon as you can.
As soon as possible. Exactly. And what you're entitled to may not be just restricted to federal, state, or city level government. You want to call, like actually telephone every one of the companies that you hold bills with, right? Ask what they specifically have to offer to those individuals that are suffering from economic hardship. Take notes, ask about fees, additional interest, whether you can postpone any payments, etc. Make decisions on what to do with your finances based on the information. Some of your bills, you can't stop. Like Wendy said, you can shut off Netflix. I shut off YouTube Music, but some things like your power and your water, you can't shut off. So you want to call and find out what each of those companies is offering at this time by way of supporting.
Both my power company and my water company and my mortgage company have all emailed me and said, we've got options for you. And, you know, the mortgage company, I could defer my payments, but I end up paying more in interest. So it's not a straightforward calculation. It's not as straightforward as I could save X amount a month by not paying my mortgage. Right. If in a year I have to start paying my mortgage plus how much I've missed, I could still be in a bad position. So it's not that easy. Next, explore grants and nonprofit provisions for people in your sector or your location. So there's often much more than you could imagine. So I had a look during the government shutdown, which I think was 2 years ago. Public transport was free in San Antonio for the furloughed employees with a qualifying ID. Museums and art galleries offered free entry so that furloughed employees could still take their children to activities. One lawyer's office offered free wills. A church offered tuition assistance, and the sheriff's office offered to expedite hiring furloughed federal employees. And I got that from one news article about what was available for government employees during that furlough. So there is a wide range of services and things that you are entitled to. And while I'm saying this, if you have been laid off, you can get our resume workbook. You just have to send us an email at customerservice@manager-tools.com and we will send it to you. And we also have, I think, 100 individuals who have offered to buy the interview series and donate it to someone who has been laid off and who is in need. And again, if you just email us customerservice@manager-tools.com, we can get you set up with somebody who will be willing to pay for the interview series to help you get back to work. And it's been really cool because we've been able to connect two people, and the connections are as good as the $150 that people pay for the interview series. So yeah, there's all sorts of things. Oh, and we have a resume board, a job board.
Oh,
as
we
well.
Do, yes.
I've forgotten that. We've done that. So there's often a lot more help than you think there is.
Yes.
And that's just three examples of things that we as a small company have been able to do for people who've been laid off. And if we're doing that, there's plenty of other places around you that are willing to help.
There's people or places that offer help every day. Guys, you might not need a food bank today, but find out on your day one where they are and what you need to do in order to avail yourself of their services. You're right. On day one, it's probably not the time, but food banks often also offer non-essential items like diapers, right? Or feminine hygiene products. It could come to that. Again, pessimistic is the view on this one. And not that that wasn't, but the final piece of guidance here might be hard to hear, but prepare yourself for telling your friends, neighbors, and acquaintances that you've been furloughed. Now, this is aside from or completely separate from the build your network part of this cast. This is the wouldn't you want to help your friends out if you could part of the cast, right? For many of us, asking for and accepting help is really, really difficult. And we want, as humans, it's an inherent need that we are self-sufficient. And most of us, most of the time, have far more than we need. We want to be the generous ones, the ones giving charity. We don't want to be the ones accepting it. But when we're in need, the coin works the other direction. We need to ask. Give other people the chance to help you and be generous to you. Right? Accept gifts. Accept somebody else paying for your lunch. Accept someone else taking your kids on a play date for the afternoon and buying them McDonald's. Right? When you get through this period, when we come out on the other side of this, you can find ways to repay them. You can be the generous one again. In this time, though, ask for and accept help. It's important.
And this goes for unemployment and other help. If you've paid into the system, you're entitled to the support the system gives you. You have paid for others to be supported in your good years. So take the support in your lean time. If it were one of my friends that had been laid off and I found out that their children were hungry, I would be devastated because I could go to HEB and spend $100 on groceries with no problem right now because I canceled Netflix. There's a difference between, you know, preparation and whether or not I think I have a spare $100. I could cut $100 from my grocery bill and give that to someone else without even thinking about it. So just put yourself in the position of one of your friends finding out that you were struggling and that you didn't ask or that they didn't ask. You would be so sad. So let people help you. And as well as your day one task, this is your day 14, day 28, day 42 task. Every 14 days, check what you're entitled to. Because as the time goes on, the entitlements change, both of what's available in terms of what offerings people are putting out there. So there might be something new, or the fact that you've been unemployed for 14 or 28 days or however many, that may change whether or not that certain thing is available to you.
Yeah.
And keeping on top of it means you get everything you're entitled to.
Absolutely. And it's changing all the time. So pay attention.
So we're at 30 minutes, Sarah. So let's stop here. And in the next cast, we'll do the day 2 tasks.
Sounds good.
We'll continue this subject next week.